Well, lovely to see half of your faces. Anyway, and if I haven't seen you before, I haven't seen you yet either. But hopefully next time I come, we can get rid of these masks and see you. But it is great to feel safe. And even as we pray for India, you know, we're so grateful that God has helped us in this nation, hasn't he? And the generosity that God's been to us. And so it's great to pray for places like India where we don't have the health system so much in place and the resources that God has blessed us with here. Well, it is really good to have you, and so have you to be with you. And my wife Jo and I have been looking forward to being with you in person. And Jo's been looking forward to the place that I've talked a lot about. And it is such a transformation coming here again. Last time I came, there was a few bits of decoration, and it just feels such a nice, warm, welcoming place. It always has been, because it's about people, but just to see a carpet in, and I've just been outside taking photographs of the raised beds and looking at the gym. I only tend to look at gyms, but who knows? I might get involved at some point. But it is wonderful to see what God is doing with you in this incredible community. And, of course, we're part of a family of churches called Regions Beyond, our church in Hull, where I'm from, meeting again this morning, and you here. And right across the world, God is working in our Regions Beyond churches, because we are pushing forward, even in difficult times, pushing forward into mission. Last month, in one of our churches in the Philippines, on one of the islands, they baptized 200 people who'd come to Christ that month. Can you imagine that, having a baptism service for 200 people in Rio, Brazil, who I speak to once a month on Zoom? You know, they started a language class. Initially, they were paying students to come, and when my wife and I went out there to visit the church, I told them our story of doing English classes in Hull and some of the things that we do. And I said, well, why don't you see about doing lessons free to really impact and help the community? And it was such a joy to speak to them just recently. They've now got 100 students on their English classes, really helping the poorest in Brazil, give them a step up in terms of learning English. And we met for the first time publicly as a church in our church in Hull, and we had 25 guests come to the church, which was wonderful, including 4 Hull City players, who I had no idea who they was because I'm not that mad on football. But they just came, and the reason they came is they'd been watching our church online, but hearing about what we were doing in the community. And we're not the trendiest, best church in Hull, but they just love what we were doing, and it was great to see so many new people coming to be part of the church. And in the UK at the moment, people are in the process of moving to the city of Birmingham to plant churches. We're looking to see several churches planted right across Birmingham, particularly in the poorest and harder to reach areas of Birmingham. Currently, there's a couple in San Diego. I set up a prayer meeting online to pray for Birmingham, to encourage people to pray for that city. And this couple in San Diego just came to the prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting online, on Zoom, God spoke to them to move. So they're just having their visas sorted this week, their biometrics test, and they're in the process of moving to Birmingham. God is moving from the incredible city of San Diego, which is beautiful, which has beautiful beaches, to right in the middle of the UK. And why is God doing that? Because God speaks and God is moving people for his mission. God is a great work in the earth, isn't he? Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder, as you came this morning, how are you prepared to come to church? What did you think about in your preparation? For some of us with kids, we're thinking about what colouring books we can bring, what sticker books, what snacks, all those things that we can help them to keep through the service because we can't have children's ministry at the moment. Some of us were thinking and preparing, what am I going to have for lunch when I get home? Maybe you were thinking what you could fit in before you came to church. Some of you have prepared by practicing your instruments, tuning the guitar, all sorts of things. All of us prepared in some way to come to church this morning. But 1 Corinthians 14:26 is this. What shall we say, they, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. I wonder if any of us this morning came prepared to bring a hymn. Now, we can't really sing at the moment, apart from those on stage, so it's a bit tough at the moment. But to bring a word of instruction, a revelation, something that God wants to speak to us, a tongue or an interpretation of tongues. Did we come with the expectation that God wants to use me this morning with Unity Church? And that's a really important question to ask, because the church isn't about what happens on the stage. It happens to us as a community. Now, we've seen some demonstration of that. We've heard some testimonies, some stories of what God has been doing. Different people have prayed out. Different people have maybe shared what God has been saying. But it says that each one of us should come with that expectation that God wants to use us today to speak, to encourage one another. Because when we gather together as his people, his church, there's such power and gifting as we come together. That's why we've been desperate to get offline and come together. Because we can all participate. We can all be part of this community. Because we all have gifts that God has given us to build up and encourage Unity Church. And even as I'm speaking, God might be speaking to you about something that you need to bring, an encouragement to somebody in the next days and weeks as part of this church community. Because the God has given us his Holy Spirit, who speaks to us and encourages us and gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I just want us to turn, if you've got your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verses 7 to 11. It says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now to each one. That means each one. If you're a believer in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit has been given to you, to each one, to bring good. That means the Holy Spirit is with you. Each one of us has a gift given for the good of Unity Church. So have a look around and look at each other. Each one of you, different ages, different backgrounds, has something to bring for the building up of God's church and community. Verse 8, to one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of them. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, who gives them to each one. To each one as he determines. Now, we don't have time to look at all these gifts that God gives us. There's a multiplication of gifts. But I want to, just this morning, just in these next 10 minutes now, just want to focus on the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. There are gifts that God has for us. There's gifts that God has already given us. And the Bible says to eagerly desire them, pursue them. But especially the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is hearing from God. Sometimes we hear from God ourselves, and I hope we do that as we spend time with him each day. We listen to God. What is God saying for me? But what is God calling me to do? But there's also the prophetic word for his people to encourage others, to bring words of encouragement that build up and strengthen, encourages. The gift that God gives us of prophetic word is to hear from him, not just for ourselves, but for others. And in the New Testament, the church brings that prophetic word, and it brings comfort, it inspires people, it brings revelation, and it builds and encourages us. Basically, we hear God's truth. He reminds us of a truth, and he wants us to bring it to others, to build them up and encourage them as well. And it's a gift we're to desire. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Three times in Corinthians, in this chapter, in the book of Corinthians, it says, urges the church to prophesy, and he uses this word, earnestly desire. And it comes from the word that we now say zealous, zelios. It means excitement of mind, fervent. It means to burn with zeal, to strive, desire, exert yourself. And Paul encourages us all to prophesy. So it's not a passive attitude. Well, God, if you want to speak to me for others, then just do it, you know. No, he says, eagerly desire it. Ask of me. What a joy it is. Who's ever been encouraged by another Christian because they've encouraged them with a scripture or a word or a picture? Yeah? Isn't it wonderful to when somebody's done that? Well, we can all continually do that to build and encourage one another up. And as a church, we want to be provoked, inspired, and encouraged in the purposes of God, both as individuals but also together. So there's sort of three basic questions to answer. Well, who should prophesy? Well, 1 Corinthians 14 says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. So that's all of us. God wants all of us to use the gift of the prophetic because it's about encouraging and inspiring others in their walk with God. It can identify gifts and callings and will increase our faith. And it will ultimately help us then fall more in love with Jesus. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. Prophecy isn't telling somebody off. Prophecy isn't pointing out a sin. That's not New Testament prophecy. New Testament prophecy strengthens, encourages and comforts. So who can prophesy? We've already answered that, 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Do you know, you can hear from God. Doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian 5 minutes or 50 years. God can speak to you for others. Do you prophesy is probably the question that I want to encourage us with. Only you can answer that. But we're encouraged to be eager to prophesy. So how do we bring God's word? How do we prophesy? See, Paul here makes it clear that a person who prophesies is you don't just kind of act like a drain pipe of words falling from heaven that gushes out. It's not like you hear from God and you just go, this is what God says. There's time involved and God begins to give impressions. God uses our own personality and gifting what is shared, and often he might use a familiar day-to-day event like a meal or highlight something that we see or bring to mind what God has already said to encourage us. As I was out walking this morning, I was trying to think what the name of the place was. There's these gardens near Orpington Town Centre. What's those gardens? Priory Gardens. Isn't it beautiful? Early in the morning, it's even more beautiful. You know, just watching the geese and the ducks and everything. And as I was praying for Unity Church. And this is how often God speaks to me. I said, God, what does God want to encourage Unity Church with today? And often God speaks to me through the familiar. And I just began to notice things. I'd kind of read things as I went around the park. And one of them was about how you feed the ducks. And what it said is, please feed the ducks close to the water's edge so they are safe and protected. Okay? And as I was reading that, I felt God said, this is exactly what Unity Church is doing in this community. You are feeding people, literally, I know. And as I saw your raised beds, more food coming. But right in the community, right up close, not far, not distant, in order that people will be safe and feel secure. And that's what I love about Unity Church. You're not far off and distant to the community. You don't just parachute in and go out again, but you're embedded in this community. You're loving the people around you. And that will help protect and keep people safe. Because the problem is with those ducks is, what they're saying is, if you're feeding them on the ground, you're encouraging to come out of the pond, out of the area. And if they get used to that, guess what's going to happen to some of those ducks? The fox is going to come. Or that dog that's loose that shouldn't be let off in that part of the stuff. But you're like that. And also then as I looked, I saw the pond, and they've created different parts in the pond, haven't they? So the birds can build their nests. They can give birth there. There can be new life where they're protected and safe. And I felt God saying that's exactly what God wants to do in Unity. He's providing, you are building like little nests in this community where people can come in, feel safe and secure, can be themselves. And as a result of that, there's going to be new birth. There's going to be things that are going to come to life. As you feed people, as you love people, God is going to save more people in our community. He's going to touch them with the love of God. Don't you want? Isn't that what you long for? So God just stirs me as I see something just very simple. In fact, this is what God is saying about Unity Church. Isn't that wonderful? And you can do the same, you know, as you come on a Sunday. Sometimes you might see a picture or see something. Something might spark a scripture. And then you just say, God, how do I bring this as an encouragement to the church today? As we meet in smaller groups, as we meet one to another, as we encourage, as we pray for one another. I don't know if you've ever been to a school concert. I'm not mad on classical music, but I know some of us love classical music. I can imagine Neil. Do you like classical music? Oh, that's funny. That's half a bad. Does anybody here like classical music? Oh yeah. My goodness, that's a lot of people. If you've ever been to a posh concert, no, I haven't. I've only been to a school concert, right? But what happens before the concert with all the different instruments? What happens is they have to get into tune, right? It sounds awful. Even at a posh concert, I've seen it on TV, right? The violins, they're just tuning up. And they all make this incredible, terrible noise. But they're doing it because when they start, they want to be in harmony and tune together. And what the prophetic word does, as God speaks to us, he wants us to be like that as Unity Church. See, what will happen is the worship leader here is praying beforehand and saying, God, what do you want to say to Unity Church? What are the songs I'm choosing? I'm not just choosing the songs because they flow nicely together, although that does help. But you're saying, what does God want to do? How does he want to encourage his people today? As the preacher comes, he's doing the same thing. And as God's people, as we come together, thinking, what is it that God wants to share with Unity today? And it's like a beautiful orchestra. So as you begin to listen to the worship, as you begin to listen to other people, you think, now it's me. I'm going to come in with my violin now, okay? And it's going to sound beautiful because it moves with what God's already doing among us here, okay? It doesn't like coming like that. It goes against everything. You know, somebody's talking about God's love and grace, and then somebody else comes in, wants to talk about, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something terrible. Not a prophetic word. God really doesn't like us at the moment. He's very disappointed in us. It's like a violin that's out of tune. It's like, well, one, that's not prophecy because God wants to build us up. But it doesn't flow. And God wants us to be like this beautiful orchestra as Unity Church, little one, people saying, sharing something. Sometimes we might just have a very simple picture. But then somebody else will say something different, and or a scripture. And it's like an orchestra that comes together. It's better to have a few words than have a boring, worn-out splurge of stuff, you know? So what does prophecy look like, as I finish? The sound of war, 14 verse 18, it says, again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? I love to watch films, and battle and war films, and often there's a point in the film, isn't there, when it looks like the battle's lost, or people are feeling weary or downcast, and then somebody comes along and calls people to the final push, the final battle. He sets before them a picture of what their future could look like. And it just helps to put strength in their legs, gives them courage for the final breakthrough. And often it can be the turning point of a war. And actually, Paul uses the military terms quite a lot in his writing. One preacher put it like this: prophecy is not a sentimental chocolate fudge sundae for self-centered individuals, but rather a kick up the pants and a sword in your hand commission from the captain of hosts. What prophecy does, it centers us, God's people, on his will and pushes us outwards into mission. And it's a gift, the prophetic word, to help strengthen, encourage, and comfort. I don't know how many of you can share, and we've got time now, of a time in your life, or in the life of this church, when somebody's brought an encouragement, a prophecy, that has encouraged us and strengthened us to then stand firm and move forward. You know, and there is something about a courage and a going forward. When God encourages, he's going to provide for Unity Church. You know, it's wonderful. Somebody was talking about Dave. One of Dave's things is he sees where he's going. There's not quite the finance in it, but he's got strength and courage to believe in God. And then what happens is the finance comes in, doesn't it? Isn't that wonderful? And that's how we should be, seeing, going forward in the battle, even when it's tough. The Christian life is a battle, and we need to be equipped, and the prophetic word will help us and strengthen us. And simple words can touch the depths of our hearts and change everything for us. You know, visitors sometimes in our meetings in Hull, when we've been in person, they love our worship. We've had some great musicians. And it's lively. But do you know what affects people more? Is when there's a word that comes, an encouragement, just from somebody ordinary, a picture, and it touches their heart. And it begins to change them. Because prophecy is not just for Christians. It's for people who don't know Jesus, the unbeliever. It says the unbeliever will come into their midst. They hear God speaking. And it says they fall to their knees. You know, there are some great places to be, some great entertainment places when they're all open. Church is not about entertainment, it's about participation, and it's about God using us. It's also, it's like a war, but it's also silence. There's times where we just have to let, the Bible says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. There's times when we just have to be quiet and listen to God as one another does that. And we together we weigh what God is saying. Why don't we just stand up for a moment? The band can come back up. I'll stand a bit further over. I think for many of us, we know that we can hear from God. And we have heard from God. But what holds us back is fear. Well, if I say something, I'm going to make a fool of myself. You know, that person speaks really well. I haven't got many words. Fear is dispelled by faith. God wants to use us. We are included in the each one. Each one of us can have that gift. Some of us think, well, the fear is, well, I'm just going to make up the words as I go along. But allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, because there are so many gifts in this room. God loves to hear you seek him, and he will speak to you. Would it be wonderful over these next weeks and months that different people step up and say, I just feel maybe God's saying this. And I'm sure we're in a loving community. We're going to go, yes, I'm ready to listen. What's God's going to say? And I know in the life of my church in Hull, when we've faced really tough situations as a church community, God has spoken to us through very simple but encouraging words, and it's pushed us forward in faith. You know, every time we've planted another church, it's been really tough. We've just planted a new church in the north of our city onto another estate. Because we know that people will not be reached with the gospel unless we go to them. And it was tough. But we know that God has spoken that as we send out, he will resource us. And you know, as we sent them out, it's still hard because we miss people. But God is now resourcing us. The first church we planted out, we lost a quarter of the income of the people we sent out. We had no money. We were like, how are we going to do it? But God had spoken to us to church plant, to again reach the east of the city. And guess what? Within a few weeks, God not only replaced those people, but he gave us the finance back. And it was through the prophetic word that God helped us to do it. God wants to use us. Some of us maybe feel unworthy. Well, I'm not good enough for God to speak to me. I just want to break that in you even this morning. God wants to use each one of us to hear from him and bring that word and strengthen one another. Why don't we just pray together? Where you are, maybe just stretch out your hands to God. It's just a way of saying, God, I'm open to you. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want you to use me. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're a God who speaks. And Holy Spirit, I pray, pour out your Holy Spirit afresh on each one of us. God, thank you that you want to use us, whatever our background, whatever our circumstances. Lord, you're a God who speaks. And Lord, you want to not just speak to us, but you want us to encourage and build up. We want this church to be full of encouragement to move into the purposes and plans of God. Thank you for all that you're going to do in this church. Thank you for already you're doing. Thank you for the history of this church and this community. But thank you, Lord, as we push forward into all that you have for us. Lord, that you would keep speaking. You keep giving us courage to move forward. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Let us hear from you. We pray, Lord, that there be more gifts released in the community as well. Not just here on a Sunday, but we'd speak words of encouragement to our community, to those around us. That as we wake up in the morning, we might have a word for somebody in the street, and we might be bold enough to bring them that word and then to pray for them. Lord, we pray for courage. And Lord, I do pray for that, even that simple picture that I had this morning. Lord, it's like this community. It's like they're able to feed the community close. And it's going to keep the community safe. It's going to be impactful in this community. And I do pray for that. Lord Jesus. Lord, that those nests of safety where there can be new birth, new families touched. Lord, we pray for that. We pray for more people to come to know you in this community. Amen. We're going to just sing a song of just inviting the Holy Spirit just again to move in us, to respond to him. And as we do that, we can't sing. But let's keep responding to God. And just the final thing I felt, you know, and it's true of most people at the moment, that fear has really crept in. Not just fear of COVID, because lots of you are here, so you're not, you know, you're overcoming that fear even by being at church. In fact, this is much safer than going to Tesco's, right? But there's fears that have crept in. Some of us have been ill. Some of us have been through tough times. And there's sometimes when we've been ill, sometimes when we've faced pressures, there's fear of what's next. Okay, I'm over this, but what happens if? There's unanswered questions. This has happened, and we begin to allow fear to begin to dominate our thinking and our minds. And I just felt for some of us today, you know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, and it's God's love. And he doesn't always say that some things won't be difficult or tough, but he says he's with us. So I just want us again just to reach out to God, particularly if that's you. If you know there's fear of the future, fear of circumstances right now, I just pray that the love of God will just come to you right now. Holy Spirit, where those are people who are fearful of the future, the unanswered questions, what's going to happen. Lord, I just want to pray for your love to flood people's hearts. And we command fear to go, and we ask fear to be cast into the sea. And we pray for the love of God to fill us. Amen. Mm-hmm.